The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
I'm from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. The Lord's going to allow me to, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk through it. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. But first of all, I want us to read together our theme scripture in 2 Corinthians 10. Because we need to be reminded, not just of the thing, but we need to be reminded of the things that are available to us. And we need to recognize who we are and whose we are. Listen to the news, you read the news, you hear all this stuff from Florida. Well, there's so much focus on Florida, but I'm now on Central Michigan. If you haven't heard that story about a young man who shoots and kills his parents on school ground. They were there to pick him up. Now, you read the story, there's some other things, and there's some focus on some areas and some things, but there's a spirit present. I'm not here to disrespect mental illness, but I'm not here to make mental illness an excuse. There's a spirit. So I get Florida, but Central Michigan, there was a call made to parents, and they went to get the child, and he shoots them dead on campus. And I haven't heard about that. I can get into some old other stuff outside of that's in my spirit, but I got to release that. Why they're not talking about that? But there's a spirit present. And we got to deal with it. But listen to what I said. We got to deal with it. That's going to make sense to you in a minute. But we got to recognize who we are. So together, I want us to read 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It's right there on your screen. So you don't have to look it up. It's right there on your screen. So all together. Technical difficulty. Oh, there it is. You ready? It says, for though we live in the world, together, let's read it together. We do not. Did it go away? No. Then you all go ahead and read it. That's scripture. That's scripture. That's scripture. That's why songs like we just sung make sense. That's scripture. Now do me a favor, encourage somebody and tell them, neighbor, we are the army of God and we are armed and dangerous. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to hear that. Tell somebody else. Tell somebody else. Tell them, neighbor, we are the army of God and we are armed and dangerous. That encourage somebody. That encourage somebody that limped in here and they know they got to go home. Amen. But that's supported by scripture. All right? Now let's talk about what that looks like and how it sounds and what it means. 1 Samuel 17. But I only want to read two verses. Verse 45. In verse 48. Now again, I want you all to read this together. So you all have various translations. I want to get us on one accord this morning. So I want you to, is it, okay, so what's up there? So all together, you all read. Now, you just told somebody that we are the army of God and we are armed and dangerous. But yet, there's some of y'all running away from stuff. And now some stuff, do me a favor, here's the subject. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's up there. Neighbor, there's some things you're going to have to face to fix. Tell somebody else. Tell them, neighbor. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Let me ask you, have you ever faced something, or are you facing something right now so big? A problem, a trial, a difficulty, a situation, etc., that it seemed then or it seems right now impossible to overcome. Something seemingly insurmountable, but hear me today, my brothers and my sisters, but if you don't face it, it won't get fixed or it won't get handled. This is something you're going to have to take on and not run from it. I'm talking to somebody. From the pulpit to the door, I'm talking to somebody. You might have, it might be somebody, you're going to have to face your sickness. You are. Even something as big as cancer, as big as maybe potentially that's inoperable, or something they're still trying to figure out what's going on, but you're still going to have to face it. I'm talking to somebody else. You're going to have to face your depression. For somebody else, you're going to have to face your worries or your fears. For somebody else, you're going to have to face your addictions or your bad habits. For somebody else, you're going to have to face that attitude of yours. For somebody else, you're going to have to face your financial trouble, and you always seem to be in financial crisis. For somebody else, you're going to have to face your failing marriage, or if you're not married, you're going to have to face your broken relationships. I could go on and on and on, but I think you get the point. There are just some things, my brothers and my sisters, that you're going to have to face to fix. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read one of the most famous stories in the Bible, the story about David and Goliath. But I'm not here to tell a Bible story. Come on, somebody. I'm here to get revelation. Because in this text, David shows us that there are some things, some people, some situations, maybe some ailments, or just some stuff that we're going to need to face head on, step out on faith, believing that God will help us to overcome whatever the proverbial giant is. Whether that means eliminating it altogether or, watch this, helping us to bear the burden so they no longer have a grip on our life. In this text, keeping it in context, I hope you didn't close your Bible. You're going to need your Bible open to get to what we're talking about here. Because it begins when the Philistines, a neighboring country to Israel, gathered for war against Israel. They lined up the forces on one side of the valley, and the Israelite army was on the other side. Now, hear me today. Keep watch the text, because neither army wanted to make the first move, because whichever one attacked first, they would be at a disadvantage, because the army with the higher ground always had the advantage. Teach, Holy Ghost. So instead of going to battle, the Philistines sent a representative from their army to challenge a single representative from the Israelite army. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. Whoever won that fight won the battle. I said, whoever won that fight won the battle. Now, the champion of the Philistines, of course, was Goliath. Goliath stood about 9.5 feet tall. The armor that he wore was approximately 125 pounds, and just the head of his spear was about 15 pounds in and of itself. For 40 days, according to verse 16, I hope you didn't close your Bible. You need your Bible to understand the story. For 40 days, the Bible says in verse 16 that these two armies, they lined up at the battle call. And every day, Goliath would come forward from the Philistine line and he would issue insults and challenge the Israelite army. And every day, the Israelite army, including King Saul and David's three older brothers, would run back into the camp full of fear. Now, in their eyes, there was no way they could defeat Goliath. Goliath was an impossible problem. Now, let me say this to you. I'm not standing here as your psychologist or your psychiatrist. Come on, somebody. I'm not here to diagnose whatever you got going on. I'm not standing here to throw shade. I'm not standing here to label you or to even judge you. But I'm here to help you as a vessel of God to help somebody with your breakthrough. In their eyes, there was no way they could defeat Goliath. Now, that's in the text. The question you need to deal with is, who and what's your Goliath? And what is it do you think that is impossible for you to defeat? Well, in the text, there's some things here in the text that we need to get, all right? There's some things, some fresh 2018 revelation we need to get. And the first thing we need to get, see, from this text is that, number one, you're going to have to face the problem. In other words, don't run away or get sidetracked hiding from what you need to deal with. When we face giant problems in our lives, we tend to do so the same way the Israelite army did. We become so overwhelmed by a problem that we tend to run from it or ignore it because we're either afraid of it, hear me today, or we just don't know what to do about it. Unfortunately, our problems rarely go away on their own, teach Holy Ghost, especially when we run from them or ignore them. Instead, let me know if I'm right or wrong, instead they have a tendency to get bigger or get worse. And every day, the problem seems more intimidating than the day before. For example, of course, in the physical, it's easy for me to talk about that. People start having health problems, but they refuse to go to the doctor. And they refuse to go to the doctor. Why? For fear that something is wrong. Well, it is. But ignoring it only is going to cause it to get worse. Another tendency we have when we're facing some big or giant things in our lives is to do what David's brother Eliab did. Watch the text. What we tend to do, see, we hear a whole lot about the five smooth stones. Not too many people talk about Eliab. We hear a whole lot about the slingshot, but we don't hear about Eliab. What about Eliab? Well, here it is. Here it is. We tend to, what Eliab did was, He skirted the real issue, and we start arguing with people about insignificant matters. You see, when David's brother Eliab heard that David was inquiring about the reward for killing Goliath, that's right there in verse 26. It says in verse 28 that he got steamed or he got heated, that his little brother was even thinking about challenging Goliath. Teach Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, Eliab actually jumped down David's throat and falsely accused him of leaving his responsibilities of tending the sheep just to come see the battle. The truth be told is that David's older brother, Eliab, was shaking in his boots. According to verse 12, the Bible says that Saul and these three oldest brothers were running back in fear. So what was probably going on is that Eliab wondered if David had seen his cowardice. So out of his own guilt or jealousy of his brother, he began to accuse him of some ridiculous things. I'm about to teach in here. here it is. The problem, Sister Stephanie, was not with David. The problem was that 9.5 foot tall giant out on the battlefield that David's brothers were afraid to face. Where are you going with this, Pastor King? Here it is. Many times when people are facing giant problems or large insurmountable circumstances and they're willing to address it or deal with the problem, they start tearing into, they start laying into folk around them about insignificant issues. They make mountains out of molehills, all the while ignoring the elephant in the room and the issue in their own house. They know there's a problem, but they're afraid to deal with it. Let me ask you, you don't have to raise your hand, rhetorical question, but do you sometimes get distracted away from major problems and you start arguments or you get petty over insignificant issues instead of dealing with what's really going on in your life? You ever had somebody just go off and you ask, how's everything going? Now you have no idea what's going on in their life, but they think you being nosy, huh? And they start saying some stuff and you go, what? You ever noticed in the news these days, I won't call no names because they listening to everything, how they're not dealing with the real issue and everything becomes petty and insignificant in an argument about everything around what the elephant in the room is? There are simply some things you're going to have to face to fix. There's something right now that you're gonna have to face head on. I don't know what it is. You're gonna have to deal with it, and you're gonna have to deal with it right away. But you're not gonna deal with it on your own strength, because that's where we get confused. We say, I don't have the strength, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the understanding. That's why you gotta go see the doctor. That's why you have to go get some help. Get some help. And here's the other thing. You're not even doing it under your own strength, but just like David and many others in the Bible, you're doing it by God's power and might. Whatever it is that you need to deal with, whatever it is you need to face, face it with courage and stop ignoring it. Don't sweep it under the rug. Hear me. David did the right thing. He faced the issue and he had courage, hear me today, to ignore the smoke screen of his brother's accusation and face the real problem. Sometimes the most courageous thing that we can do is turn away from some folk who are sidetracking us. And we need to start facing whatever the real issue is in our lives, the real problem, the real giant. Which brings me to my second point. Second point I want us to pick up from this text, right here in the text, is ignore the doubters. Ignore the doubters. Second thing that David demonstrates to us is he ignored doubters. The text says around verse 31, that's not on the screen, you got to have your Bible open, is that once Saul heard about David's inquiry, he had David brought before him. I'm in the text. David essentially said to Saul, he said, let me at him. All right. But you got to see the context. You got to see the context. Here is this 15-year-old on average little boy who had never fought a battle in his life. He's wanting to fight this Goliath, this 9.5 foot tall giant who was a veteran of many battles. Watch the text, because verse 33, Saul responds. He says, in essence, you can't do that. You're only a little boy. And not only that, you're too small and you don't have enough experience. In essence, Saul shot down David. And on the surface, you know what? Sometimes I thought about it, Sister Ferris, I can't blame him. Why? Why can't I blame him? Because remember, he was the military commander. Amen. And it wouldn't make sense for him to send a mere boy to go up against a 9.5-foot giant. Why? Because don't forget, keeping in the context, remember, whoever won that fight won the battle. Sometimes you don't get a do-over in life. So whoever won that won the battle. Well, where am I going with this? Well, I'm here to let you know that when you decide to face whatever it is that you need to face, that big thing or that giant thing, there are going to always be some naysayers. You trying to kick that habit, there are going to be some folks say, you can't do it. You trying to overcome some stuff, there are going to be some folk that say, you can't do it. Matter of fact, they almost dare you. I dare you to quit drinking. I dare you to quit smoking. I dare you to quit cussing. I dare you to quit whoremongering. Come on, somebody. People are going to shoot you down. They're going to tell you it's impossible. They're going to tell you you can't do it. They're going to tell you it's a waste of time. Matter of fact, they're going to tell you don't even bother. You might even have some doubts running through your own head right now. I need to tell you, stop listening to them. Because David didn't let a doubter get in his way. Matter of fact, watch the text, because he continued to convince Saul that he could do it, because just like he had defeated the bear and the lion, he said, listen, I can do that. I did that when I was shepherding. If you're taking notes, write this down. In a sense, when God has called us to face our giant, we can't allow other people's doubts to sway us. What we need to do is look through the eyes of faith and see not only what God has done, but we need to see what only God can do. And stop looking through the eyes of fear and doubt. Which brings me to my third point. First of all, the third point is you're going to have to use your own God-given abilities and skills. Use your own God-given abilities and skills. Now, again, if you're taking notes, write this down. Never assume that what worked for somebody else to defeat their giant will automatically work for you. I'll say it again. Never assume that what worked for somebody else to defeat their giant will automatically work for you. Watch the text, because Saul, now he's convinced. So he takes a chance. He steps out on faith. He gave his blessing to David to fight Goliath. And he took a chance because, again, if David lost, the whole Israelite army would have to surrender. So look at verse 38. Look at verse 38 of the text. Saul then begins, he proceeds to put his armor on David. Now remember, you got to watch the text, because Saul is already about a foot taller than regular sized Israelites, let alone this 15-year-old little boy. All right. So him putting this armor on David is similar to when a son or a child is trying to put on his daddy's suit. Shirt sleeves hanging on the floor. Pants all bunched up. Coat's too big. In other words, it just didn't fit David. Here it is. Now, even though Saul has successfully used his armor and his sword to successfully defeat and come against victory in the past, this was not how God was given David to use to fight his battle. In other words, God had given David success in the past over the lion and the beast, and it had nothing to, and the lion and the bear, and it had nothing to do with Saul's armor. So if you're taking notes, write this down again. How someone else has dealt with their problems isn't necessarily your solution. That's where we get frustrated. We hear about what somebody else did, and that's great, it worked for them, so you're trying to make it work for you, and it doesn't work, and you're mad at them. That's your fault. Because you might be doing what God didn't tell you to do. How someone else has dealt with their problems isn't necessarily your solution. Each person is unique, and God has given us different talents and abilities. And if David had gone out to face Goliath with Saul's arm and his weapon, he might have gotten himself killed. Amen. But instead, what he chose to do was wisely take the weapons that he already had used as a shepherd, which was his staff and his sling. There are some weapons that God has already given you to defeat some things in your past. And if you dig those out and quit trying to look at other folks' blessings and use what's working for them for you, use what God has already given you. There's some stuff that's already worked. Ask God how he's helped you to overcome some similar situations in your past. Ask yourself, Lord, how have you helped me get through these times before? Amen. It just might be the weapons of warfare that you're praying and asking for. God is saying you just need to use what I've given you, which is my last point. We need to start acting in faith. Listen to this point. Because when David looked at Goliath, he didn't see a problem. When David looked at Goliath, he saw an opportunity for God to be glorified. When you're going through what you're going through, is all you see is a problem? Or are you trying to figure out how can God be glorified in what you got to go through? Mental, physical, emotional, psychological, relational, whatever. How can God be glorified in what you got to go through? One of the things that we tend to do when we encounter giants in our lives is we tend to keep our focus on the problem rather than on God. We look at how impossible the situation is rather than how God can make the situation possible. See, when God looked at Goliath, he didn't see a big problem. He saw a big God. So stepping out on faith means more than just believing. I'm about to teach this thing right here. It's more than just believing that God will do something. Hear me when I say that. Because frequently stepping out on faith means we need to believe that not only God can, but God will, but work through us. What do you mean, Pastor King? Here's what I mean. Here, watch this. Goliath didn't just fall because David believed it could happen. Did you catch that? He didn't just fall because David believed it could happen. Now, granted, there's no doubt that God could have struck Goliath dead instantly. But in this case, then it might just be in yours. That's why you might have to go ahead and make the phone call and go see the doctor. You might have to make the phone call and go ask for forgiveness or forgive. You might have to do something. In this case, God required David to step out in faith by facing Goliath in battle. David had to gather 5 smooth stones. While we love to sing about it and make it just a good Bible story, this was about David engaging Goliath in battle before God was going to work the miracle. God doesn't always snap his fingers to make something happen just because we believe that God can. That's why you got to be careful when money cometh. And you don't want to work and get a job. And you don't want to go to the job that God bless you to have. Money cometh when you cometh to work. Amen. doesn't always snap his fingers to make something happen just because we believe it can. It requires an act of faith on our part, and sometimes stepping out on faith just simply is believing that the battle belongs to God. I know you're afraid to go to the doctor. I know you're afraid to go to the banker and ask maybe for the loan or try to figure out how to get the refinance. But just remember, that battle belongs to God. Get your stuff in order. The battle is not just ours to face and fight. It's not by your own abilities that you're ever going to succeed in doing anything that you need to do. It's by the strength, power, and might of God. So as I get ready to close, the scripture says again, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Yeah, there's going to be some stuff that's going to come against you, but you're going to have to come against it. They have weapons, sword, spear, and javelin. He says, "But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Then in verse 48, it says, okay, so because remember, not everybody's going to be impressed that you say you a child of God. Not everybody's going to be impressed because you went to church on Sunday. Some folk don't even know you coming from church by the time they cut you off on 75. Matter of fact, you may not even sound like you were just in church. Come on, somebody. Kroger's not going to know you just came from church, except the fact that you got on church clothes until they ring your stuff up wrong. So David said to the Philistine, he said, "You can come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." So then verse 48 says, as the Philistine moved closer to attacking, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. As children of the Most High God, there are going to be some times when we will need to run toward the battle full of courage and faith. For somebody, you're going to have to run toward conflict and seek a win-win solution. For somebody else, you're going to have to run towards fear and flush out the lies with truth. For somebody else, you're going to have to run toward an enemy and engage him or her, whoever they might be, in the power of the Holy Spirit, but you're going to need to be fueled by prayer and love. For somebody else, run toward the opportunity. Seize the moment in anticipation of God's favor. And for somebody else, run towards righteousness and away from sin. Here's a big one. This was probably for me. Run toward the battle away from procrastination and excuses. What's the life application? The question is, what situation is requiring you right now not to retreat, but to aggressively confront in love? You have prayed. You've asked God to give you the courage to boldly move forward and trusting in him. You prepared your heart and your mind. So now guess what? It's time for you to engage in a spirit of humble boldness. Maybe, just maybe, you failed in the past. But I'm here to encourage somebody, because this is different. Why? Because you're a different person. You're not that person that you were even yesterday, let alone the last time you had to go through whatever you went the last time. That's how the Lord had to deal with me. Even as I had to go through a second surgery, it wasn't a repeat. It wasn't to undo or redo what was done the first time. This was brand new. But I had to go in thinking, Lord, I know what you did the last time. And I know how you healed the last time. But just because he healed me the last time didn't mean I didn't need to go through surgery the second time. I still needed to go through what I needed to go through, believing that God was going to keep me no different than he did before. But you may have even failed in the past, but this is different. You're a different person. So I need somebody to go forward trusting in God. Why? Because man of God, woman of God, child of God, there's some things, and you know what they are, you're going to have to face to fix. The doors of the church are open. As you stand to your feet, as you stand to your feet, and you've heard the word of God, you've heard the proclamation, now it's decision time. And you need to decide. There's really one of two decisions. First of all, in the Bible, it's real simple. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. In the Bible, you're either sheep or goat. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either a friend or an enemy. There is no in between. You're either hot or cold. And if you decide you want to be lukewarm, the Bible says he'll spew you out. So when the invitation goes up, there's either one of two things. You're either going to give your life to Christ. If you already haven't, you need to make a decision and a commitment. Coming to church is a good thing, but you need to come to Christ. Or if you are saved and you're a child of God, your decision is whether you're going to leave the same way you came.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.